Hi, everybody. Dean Crisp in the studio today. So excited. We're going to be talking about something that I think is really simple, but it has so much impact on your ability to motivate employees, but also help retain them. And today's title of the podcast is going to be The Power of the Sticky Note. How showing appreciation can really contribute to the well-being of your employees. And we're going to be joined today in the studio with Mackenzie Craig, who is kind of a millennial slash Gen Zer. And we're going to get her view on appreciation as well. So as we always say, set back, turn up that volume, and get ready to change your life. Hi, everybody. Dean Crisp in the studio. This is podcast number 143. And I am absolutely so excited today to be joined by Mackenzie Craig. And she's going to add some value to our conversation today. As we told you in the preview, the title of this podcast is going to be The Power of the Sticky Note. Now, all of you know what that sticky note is. That's a little thing you write where you tear it off and you stick it on notes. Well, we usually generally use that for like giving messages, giving information. But really, you can use that as a powerful way to give people appreciation. And I'm going to talk about how I learned all this stuff and how important it is. But today we're going to be talking about how showing appreciation can contribute to the well-being of your employees. And today that is a major topic of how do we get the most out of people? How do we motivate people? How do we help them motivate themselves? And it's so crazy that a sticky note can have such a major impact. We're going to be referring to a Gallup research project that was done in February 2023 of the unbelievable impact that showing appreciation has to people in the workplace and how that can really be the difference maker for you as a leader. And we're going to be referring to the article. It's called Thank You to Thriving. And that's Gallup research. You can look that up on the internet. But I will tell you, we're going to talk about it today. And it's an amazing, there's an amazing correlation by how something as simple as just writing a sticky note, thank you, you did a great job, signing it can really impact people in a major, major way. This podcast is on YouTube. We did it in a Zoom recording, so you can actually see Mackenzie and I in the studio today. So if you want to follow us on the YouTube channel, you can do that. We'll get more information. Mackenzie will give you that a little bit later. But before we go into that, I want to thank all of you for attending our classes. By far, been the busiest year we've had. We've got multiple classes going on in the same week all over this great country. And we're just so thankful for the people who have entrusted us and hosting our classes and who have taken a step to really trust us to provide the best leadership training they possibly can get. And so with that being said, we want to just tell all of you a big thank you, a big shout out. Last year, we had over 100, and I think it was around 8 or 10 significant leaders, meaning that many people took all three of our classes. And we just can't be more grateful to those people who did that. And we want to thank all of you. We also want to thank you for the podcast listeners. We've got a loyal following out there. Everywhere I go, I hear people talk about, man, I listened to your podcast. I was working out the other day, and really, we provide this podcast because these are things we learn and we don't want to keep it. We think one of our major goals of being a leader is to be a knowledge passer or somebody who passes on knowledge to people, a knowledge giver. So that's what we really try to do in these podcasts. So with that being said, Mackenzie, thank you very much for joining us and tell us just a little bit. Now, Mackenzie works for us in the office and she's been with us now almost 3 years. And she's been to all three of our classes multiple times. She's a multiple significant leader award recipient. In other words, she's taken these classes several times. And we do that because we think it's really important for folks at work in our office or anywhere in our organization that we really let them have the classroom experience and really understand what they're trying to get accomplished, if you will. So with that being said, Mackenzie, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's crazy to think I've been with the company for almost 3 years now. It's gone by pretty fast, but we've definitely grown every single year. And I think this is the first, Well, no, I was actually on another podcast with you and Kelly, probably last year, but this is the first one I've actually been a big part of. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, Mackenzie, you're going to do great, and I'm sure you will. And Mackenzie's on here today because she's kind of like a, and her and I were arguing a little bit off camera about, I told her she was a millennial slash Gen Z. And so if you really want to know what we're talking about, millennials are 80 to 2000, born between 1980 and the year 2000. And Gen Zers have been this new micro generation, or this larger generation came about around 1995. Now, Mackenzie was born before that, but she has, in my opinion, definite tendencies of Gen Zers and millennial both. And we'll talk about that. So, Mackenzie, what you're saying about that?
Well, Google apparently says that the millennial ends at like 1996 area, and then anyone born in like 1997, 98 on is Gen Z. So I was born in 92. So I consider, well, I actually, by definition, am a millennial. And what's so funny is in classes that you taught that I've been in, you'll talk about millennials, Gen Z, and you'll say things like, oh, I bet you millennials don't remember having a home phone and stuff like that. And I'm like, yes, I do. We had a phone up on our wall in the kitchen and it had a cord. And so you could only go so far into the kitchen. And I remember the number too. I remember my home phone number, my grandparents' home phone number. And so I think maybe it's your generation gets our generations mixed up. Maybe like you just want to put us all in one group, even though we're two different groups.
So, I mean, you're right. I mean, technically, you are no doubt a millennial, but I do think that because of your technology prowess and your ability to do social media and your understanding, because Mackenzie does all the social media for us. And if you see stuff out there posted on social media, now you see the face, the one that does it. Mackenzie, she does all that, and she just is really great at it. She understands that. And she'll post stuff, and I'll say, okay, let me see. Where did that come from? And Mackenzie's like, that is what we need to be doing. And I'm like, okay, I get it. And so it's she's the one who really takes that, and she understands that at a high level. So Mackenzie, thank you for being here. And I want to get your opinion because you and I have talked about this on numerous occasions about appreciation. And the title today is The Power of Sticky Note: How Showing Appreciation Can Contribute to the Well-Being of Your Employees. And I think that we're gonna, we're gonna talk about what well-being really is, but we're also gonna talk about a number of things about what the role of showing appreciation plays in employees' performance and their well-being, as well as defining performance and job function. We're gonna talk about that today. So if you've, in my opinion, this is gonna be one of the most informative kind of podcasts because it's just got so much good information that we've planned into this podcast. And it's really going to help clear up some things with people because, honestly, my generation showing appreciation, it is hard for us because we just, I mean, we grew up like being told, shut your mouth, like go over there and sit in the corner, do what you're supposed to do. And if you don't like it, tough. And suck it up, buttercup. And it's not so much that this newer generation is the only generation that loves appreciation. Every generation does. And it's not so much that millennials and Gen Zers or whoever may be next, it's they're wired so differently that they emotionally connect on a really, really high level. And when people connect on a really, really high level on emotionally, man, everything matters. They pay attention to everything you do. And if you have a bad moment in the office and you're not showing appreciation or people don't feel appreciated, it really impacts the workplace. So, I mean, you understand that.
One thing that popped into my head just now is because you're kind of in the same generation as my parents, and I've heard so many times where, parents in your generation say, well, when I grew up, I was treated with tough love and like, oh, shut your mouth, go sit in the corner. And so then when you guys started having kids, you were like, I don't want to do that to my kids. Like, I don't want them to grow up the way I grew up. And so that's kind of where the more feelings and the more love kind of came in, like more nurturing love, I guess you could say. So I think if you think about it that way, as far as generational differences, that's kind of where, you know, millennials and even Gen Zers, like, that's kind of where I think the shift happened, was because parenting, every generation has changed, whether good or bad.
And I think that's so true, Mackenzie. But I do think that the brain has kind of changed the way we see things. You know, we're right side brain thinkers now, which if you really kind of do any research, you'll see that when people kind of are motivated by the right side, their creative mind, they're way more emotionally connected. And I mean, I am. I'm way more emotionally connected than I ever thought I would be. And that has a lot to do with anything, but it's also social media. It's also abundance. It's also technology. It's our ability to find out what's going on in the world in any second. So the power of showing appreciation, like, we have got to literally understand that people are emotional creatures at work. And if you don't show them appreciation, man, you're going to have some problems. Mm-hmm. And we're all learning that, you know. And one of the things that I do in the Master Leader course, you ever get a chance to take the Master Leader course, which people who take that always say it's the best course ever, because you got 20 people pulling for you. You got 20 people writing you notes every day about how to better perform. You got 20 people really caring for you. And I guess that class more than anything proves the power of sticky notes, because we hand those out in every presentation. We give them to people, let them get feedback. And by the end of the week, people have got hundreds of sticky notes of kind of their path forward to how they get better. And I mean, I really didn't realize the power of that until that class, but it's like amazing. People will take one simple sticky note and you write, "Great job. You did awesome." You sign it, put it, they will keep that forever. And it's really, the sticky note is kind of like it's the comparison to your ability to show appreciation, or it's kind of like, I'm not sure what the right word is, but it's like shows that a simple act of appreciation really, really, really does matter.
Well, and you know how they say actions speak louder than words? It kind of makes me think of, I mean, anybody can say you're doing a great job. Anyone can say keep it up. But if you actually take the time to write it down on a piece of paper or a sticky note, I guess it shows more effort.
Yeah,
like it shows more, yeah, like it's an actual act than just you saying something.
Well, and you're exactly right. So let's get to the study, because I think this was one of the most amazing things I read. It was done in 2023, which means it's post-COVID, which I think COVID changed us all. I think people felt vulnerable during COVID. I think people felt they weren't sure if they're going to die. They weren't sure if their relatives were going to die. We were isolated. We were afraid. I mean, COVID psychologically did a lot to a lot of us. And I think that period of time, and it just didn't go on for like a week or two. It was like months. And when things go on for months, you develop habits psychologically of the way you think. So I think COVID really impacted us. And then you had George Floyd in law enforcement, which was the perfect storm. And so I just think that law enforcement officers, man, they felt like they weren't appreciated by the communities. They weren't appreciated by their bosses. They weren't appreciated by anybody. And when you don't feel appreciated, man, you look for other things to do. You look for another job, or you form bad habits at work, or all those things take place. And I think we saw that, like, and now it's playing out in the workplace. So I love this study because it's done post-COVID. And I love, so what they defined in here was well-being. So let's talk about a couple of things to put everybody on the same page. Well-being is your career well-being, your social well-being, your financial well-being, your physical well-being, and your community well-being. And when you think about that, the job impacts all those. Like, where you work impacts every single one of those. Like, your career well-being, that's your job. Your social is your relationship with others, how you positively interact with people. Financial is obviously economic stability. And then physical is your health and physical condition. You know, if we don't feel good, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, if you're not feeling it, then it's really hard for anything to be good. And so community, that's feeling connected. That's interacting with people you live around. That's, you know, people don't realize this, but we have a community at work as well. as a community at home. And so if that community is not real healthy, then the well-being of those folks is really in question. So when you think about it, I think the bosses have to realize that we impact the well-being all those areas. If you have a bad day at work, it generally comes to the household. Like if your boss, you know, if you have a bad interaction with your boss, you have a bad review, you have a bad instance, you don't get your work done. I mean, you're pressured, all those things, they carry into the household. So they have a major impact on your well-being. And I think that's true for everybody.
Well, it kind of makes me think of when you talk about your purpose, because, you know, we all have a purpose and we all need to find that. But I think it's partly the leader's job, I think, in my opinion, to help their employees with their purpose, and appreciation is part of that. Because if you are at work every single day and you do what you're supposed to do and you never get appreciation for it, you start to question things like, is what I'm doing a good job? You know, am I doing what I need to be doing? And you just kind of get in this habit of, you know, not feeling fulfilled. And so I think it's really important for the boss or the leader or whoever is over you to show you that they do appreciate you and what you're doing, because then that will help you feel like you have a purpose. And that's what I think the power of appreciation can do for employees in any organization is it makes you excited to go to work because you feel like you're making a difference.
And I think that's a great segue into realizing there's five pillars of what in this article calls strategic recognition. And I think these five pillars hit on exactly what you're talking about, because it's like, one is the first pillar is fulfilling the employee's recognition expectations, which I think is really hard to do in today's world. I really do, because like when you have older generation like me, like, when's enough talking about how good you are? Like, it's almost like, you know, you people, when they come to work on time, they want to be told they're doing a good job. And I have such a hard time with that. Like, I don't feel that. Like, I mean, I don't want to be phony, but I'm saying, you know, fulfilling employees' recognition expectations, what are they? And I mean, I don't know. You're that younger generation expects to be told how good you are, no matter what you're doing. So tell me, I mean,
you know. I mean, in my opinion, like you just said, people want to be appreciated for being on time for work. I think that's kind of bogus, because being on time for work, you're supposed to be on time for work. It's not like something that's specific to one person. Like if there's something that everyone's supposed to be doing, I don't think you should really appreciate or you should acknowledge that. I think it's more along the lines of what skills I bring to the table, or what makes me stand out from other people. Like, and I don't know if that's a generational thing, but like we all have skills, we all have strengths, and we all have weaknesses. But I feel like if you focus on somebody's skills and strengths and compliment them for it not only makes them feel appreciated and acknowledged and recognized, but it also strengthens their own skill in that area, because they feel like, I'm doing a good job. I want to keep doing a good job.
I can see that. I mean, I like that perspective, but it's like, from my perspective, if I tell you did a good job, then I don't need to tell you 5 hours later, you did a good job.
No.
I'm being overly dramatic with some of this when I talk about coming in on time and all that stuff. But I'm thinking that, I mean, I'm just telling you, my generation and then the Gen Xers who were 1960 to 80, they weren't told how great they were. You know, they were kind of told, but they weren't told as much as millennials and then Gen Zers. I mean, good God, the kids nowadays, I mean, every time a kid will make a mistake at a ballpark and the parents will be like, yay, great job.
I know.
Look out with the bases loaded. We love you. I mean, you know, That is like, I'm
I
like, oh
know.
God. You know, I mean, and I think it sets employees up for not being able to deal with failure or disappointment on a different level. But I'm just telling you the strategic areas, okay? So
Right.
you got to remember that from the article, five pillars strategic recognition are meeting employees' expectations. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. The second was authentic. Is it real? And, oh my gosh, you know, I struggle with this sometimes with not so much that I'm not authentic, but I want to be authentic. And when I give out praise, I want to feel it. I don't want to just do it because I'm required to do it.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, I don't know. I mean, authenticity, I think, is extremely important.
Well, you can tell whether someone's being genuine or not. You just feel it. You got a gut feeling because it all depends on the tone, the way they say it, if their actions match their words. I mean, we can go in depth with that, but like, I guess from my perspective, I don't know if it's a millennial thing or not, but I would rather get a genuine, authentic appreciation and praise than someone doing it just to do it.
Oh
Because
my
then
God.
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Oh my God, you just made me think of something that I mean, it's so funny. Like, you know, I do a lot of group chats when especially the master leader chats. If you're in a master leader course, we actually create a text group that stays together. And those are amazing. I love them. They are so good. They've got just people are putting amazing stuff on that I'm learning every day and we're learning together. And but I think it's funny. Somebody like in that group or like in our LHLN group, you know, we got our own personal group that we do all of our instructors and us, we text each other. And so like when you was talking about authenticity and is it real, it's like, it just made me think of something like I'll post a really good picture. Like here's the sunrise in the morning, like
Right.
in Titusville, I was in Titusville and I posted this picture on our group. Like, here's the picture of the, you know, what it looks like. And then I get back a thumbs up, or heart, you know, that damn little whatever sticker emoji,
Yeah.
or I get nice, you know, one word nice.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. That is so good. And I think that when you talk about fulfilling employees' recognition, I kind of see that like it doesn't meet my expectation because I've taken the time to do it and share it with you. And you're like, and then it doesn't come across as authentic. Because all you did was look at it and put a thumbs up. You didn't even take the time to respond to a dang text. And I think that's so funny because it's like, you know, I can see that. Like I can see it in my own mind. And you know, I got a rule in our text group. None of these damn thumbs up emojis. If somebody sends you something, you should respond back and give them the, you know, the time that they took to write the email or the text. You should give them that time back.
I think that's another generational thing too, because your generation texting is like was like so foreign, when it first came out. And for like millennials and anyone younger than me, we grew up with texting. And so to us, actually acknowledging what you sent is genuine. Like, oh, okay, we're at least letting you know we saw it. But then your generation is like, I want more than that because
Yeah,
this
that's
isn't
so
good
true.
enough.
I guess because we're so conversational, like you know, we love conversation, and I think a text. I hate when people say "nice." God, feels insane because
Nice.
I think that is so phony, and it may not be on their end. It may be an
No. Well,
nice.
that's another issue is texting. Like somebody might say nice, but then you might read it as nice. Like you can read things differently and I know.
I'm definitely seeing that nice is not a good thing. So being
Yeah.
authentic, is it real? I think the third one is personalized. And I think this is the biggest mistake that a lot of leaders in today's world make. They send group thank yous,
Yes.
or they send group, you know, like everybody did a great job.
I hate those. Not that you do it, but
Yes, I do do it sometimes.
well, you do it sometimes, but you add flavor to it. It's not just like everybody's doing a great job. The way you do it, you turn us all into a team because you add like inspiration to it.
I just tried to add the names to it. Like if I do a group, I individually add people's names. Well, I don't
Right.
know if that works, but it seems to work since you like that. Maybe people out there could see that as a way to work. So I don't know. But I don't know. I mean, personalizing it's really important. Knock off those group texts, tell everybody they did a great job. You have to personalize. And that's a strategic recognition. You got to personalize. The fourth thing is equitable. And I think that one of the most difficult things for every boss is not to play favorites.
Right.
Think that when people do find favorites, they have a hard time not showing that. So I think it's really important. Playing favorites, you got to try to avoid that. And every leader has an in-group, middle group, and out-group, which means people they really like, people that really is kind of in the middle, and then people that don't like. It's really kind of hard to show appreciation of people you don't like, but people you don't like see that as a form of losing motivation, losing their drive, losing their self-drive, and those things too. So you've got to show equitable, not trying to show favors. Now, the fifth one, which I really think is really good, is it part of the organizational culture to inspire and to inform and to help people become or recognition, not experts, but do they do that? Is that part of the culture? And I think that is a key thing. Like you can build this really strong culture of allowing people to show appreciation, but I think law enforcement's the opposite. I think we build a strong culture of just do your dang job and then don't really worry about and just come in, suck it up, buttercup, and that kind of stuff. And I think generationally, that's one of the things we got to change is we got to build a better culture of allowing managers and people like that to feel really, and I'm going to give some tips on strategies on how do we do that. But okay, so we talk about the five pillars in fulfilling employees' recognition, being authentic, personalize it, being equitable, make it part of your culture. And great recognition in all five areas of those really creates a culture of people being able to not only accept appreciation, but give it. And I think I find sometimes it's hard for me to take appreciation. Like, I think it's kind of weird, but it is. It's like when somebody tells me you did a great job in class or you had a good interaction or whatever, it's really hard for me. I'm like, okay, what's my next level? Instead of me taking it and absorbing it, I kind of push myself, okay, what's my next level? And I never really let it sink in. So I think people sometimes can have a problem with that. And as a result of that, I don't think I show appreciation to people who show me appreciation, which I think is a problem. The way people accept appreciation also impacts your giving appreciation.
That's true.
Like, if I come in and tell you great job, you just look at me like I've, just lost my head or something. I'm like, I'm not so apt to do it again because I'm
Right.
like, you don't appreciate me appreciating you. So
Right.
I think that's a problem. But so listen to the results of this study. And I think this is what is going to be, this is so crazy. They show that great recognition across all five pillars that we just talked about creates an amazing well-being of the employee. So in other words, in all five areas of that well-being, and that's, in the career, social, financial, physical, and community well-being, all of those, if your company or your organization shows strong recognition across all five of those pillars we just talked about, then the well-being of the employee is absolutely impacted on a in a very, very positive way. And even to the point where people become top performers who have those strong well-beings or have those five well-being areas, they become your top performers. And if you really look at the lower portion of your organization, we don't show those people appreciation. And probably one of the reasons they're there is because they haven't been shown appreciation at times. Now, I'm not saying that's a total thing, but it does have something to do with it. They have found, this is what's crazy. Poor recognition impacts it in the negative way as much as it does in a positive way. So what's crazy is if you don't do it, it has a negative impact on all five of those pillars, which I think is insane because it's like you think people ought to suck it up and get it on their own. But this study finds that people who don't get recognition are negatively impacted in all areas of their life. And I think that is crazy to believe that, but it's so true. And this is one of the facts that I found so crazy when this study was. People who feel appreciated are less likely to be job seekers. People who feel appreciated are less likely, like 2 or 3 to 1, less likely to go out and try to find another job or transfer or move or whatever.
It makes sense.
Oh, I mean,
it makes a lot of sense. Well, like I was thinking about, I mean, people don't think about this, but you spend the majority of your day and your week at work. Like that takes up the majority of your day and your week is work. So if you're not happy at work and you don't feel appreciated at work, it is going to affect the other areas in your life.
But think about this. We talk about retention programs, and I know some people do build in employee recognition in those, but this is overwhelmingly proves that organizations that have a strong recognition program have less job seekers. In other words, they have less people leaving the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to think about this for a second. And this one was the one that I was like, wow, this is like crazy. People who feel appreciated are more likely to be satisfied with their pay.
Wow.
I mean, it's just to me that if you want to get people happy, show recognition. And to think that pay becomes less of an issue when people feel appreciated, that's the cheapest investment you will make in somebody's life is showing appreciation. And I think, God, that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know, in short, when employees' well-being is struggling, think about this, is what they found, that when employees' well-being is struggling, appreciation matters the most. So it's almost like you've got the formula here to turn around a bad situation by showing more appreciation and getting people to feel like they're a part of something special or mm-hmm. that they're a part of something, they're doing something really good. And I thought, oh my God, it's so crazy. I mean, you look at this, just strictly that information. Those three things that I talked about are just crazy impactful in the workplace. People who feel appreciated are less job seekers. People who feel appreciated, pay is less of an issue. And when employees don't feel appreciated, it impacts their well-being and it matters more that your appreciation is shown. And it's crazy. I mean, mm-hmm. those three things right there. And this is not me making this up. This is Gallup study of 10,000 people in 2023, which gives you a pretty good margin of error, meaning that these studies are spot on. So let's talk about four strategies leaders can deploy. One is you got to link the well-being and recognition strategies. In other words, you got to get people to understand that our strategy is to help people in the well-beings in all areas of their life, which means their career, means their financial, it means their community. You got to make work feel like a community. You've got to make sure that their personal relationship at work, it's got to be shown. Like, you've got to have relationships with your people at work that are in a positive way. And you got to encourage physical well-being. Like, you think about it, you got to encourage people to take care of themselves. And so when you talk about link between the recognition and when people do those things, you got to recognize those things. And so I think that's crazy. Second thing is you got to empower the managers. You got to empower leaders. They've got to be empowered to give people appreciation. They got to be empowered to show ways of appreciation, appreciating people. And empowerment at the lower levels of appreciation is really, really important. And I know this on a personal level, it's really hard for a sergeant to go out there and show appreciation to their people when the chief doesn't appreciate the sergeant. So you've really got to do that. So you got to empower people to do it. Third thing, bosses got to lead the way. And the higher ranking people inside the organization really need to lead the way for appreciation. Now, you remember in our meetings when we were kind of going through a rough patch, we were talking about, all right, tell me what you appreciate somebody for. I mean, you know, that did have a pretty good impact inside of our organization, where we start every meeting with, all right, instead of starting our meeting with this way, like, let's talk about what we appreciate. Like, let's talk about what we're grateful for. And I think in an interesting way, the number one thing that stops a bad attitude, and I thought about this, and studies show this as well, not this study, but other studies show that gratitude is the number one thing that stops a bad attitude. If you find a way to be grateful for what you got, you tend to have less of a nasty attitude. But in a way, you can really take that and parallel that to appreciation, because instead of saying, you know, what's the problem? It's like, all right, what do we appreciate? What's going on? Now, I know that sounds a little hokey, and cops are probably not going to do that. But I do know one thing, it definitely worked in our group. So the fourth thing is, you got to promote well-being across those areas in everybody's life. Like, you have to promote it in all employees. You can't be unfair about it. You've got to promote recognition. You got to promote those social, career, financial, physical, and community well-beings, that they're really important. And what I found interesting was, appreciation makes all those better. And I think that's just crazy. So your thoughts?
Well, my mind kind of went to law enforcement. You know, not only is appreciation needed within the organization, but it's also needed from the communities they serve. And so, you know, they're kind of getting it doubly. If they don't feel appreciated in the organization and they don't feel appreciated in the community, you know, like, how do you help them in that area? Like, what?
Well, you got to strengthen the ties to the community. You got to encourage community involvement. You've got to encourage community support. You got to get cops out of the cars. You got to get cops talking. And you got to get these community leaders stepping up when things happen to show appreciation for law enforcement. I mean, there's no magic formula. There's a number of things that you know, take hold there. But when you think about it, appreciation, gosh, I mean, I didn't realize, you know, you look at these studies and you think about, people are less job seekers. You know, people are much happier at work. I mean, people are more content in their personal lives. I mean, you know, and I mean, it's just crazy when people are more satisfied, or if they feel appreciated, they're less likely to complain about their pay and how much impact it has on the overall well-being. So I just think it's an amazing kind of understanding. People got to figure out that appreciation thing. And I know that I'm working hard every day to do it. And sometimes when you don't feel it, it's really hard to do, but you got to push through it. And then the more you practice, the more you're able to do it. So taking this thing full circle, don't ever forget the power of the sticky note. I think simple acts of appreciation are the ones that are most appreciated. I know that when I became police chief, one of the first things I did was start an awards program. And matter of fact, I saw the other day where it was like in its 34th year, and it's still going strong, where they appreciate employees and have an annual banquet. I don't think that's enough. I think you got to show appreciation every day. Take every opportunity you can, not just do it in an annual. I'm not saying they don't, but it's like, most organizations wait till the end of the year to show appreciation. You can't do that. You got to do it more. And it's really up to the leaders. And it's really up to the people that are out there impacting people to really show appreciation. Hard to do sometimes, but as we found out in the study, it's probably one of the easiest and one of the most impactful things that you can do. And it goes to show you the power of the sticky note.
I think it's important also to say that, you know, yes, you should show appreciation every day, but I don't want people to take that literally, because I feel like if you take it literally and you're like, forgot to show appreciation today, don't do it unless you actually feel it. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think that's the dilemma we're in, is sometimes we don't feel like doing it. We should do it. We just got to give ourselves more of a habit of doing it. The more habit you do it, the more it becomes natural, the more it flows. So I really think those are good points. And, you know, I encourage people out there, if you don't think this works, write a sticky note. Somebody say, man, I just let you know you did a great job on that. Thank you so much. Write your name to it. stick it on their desk and look and see what happens to that sticky note. Guarantee you they don't ever get rid of it. They keep it. And especially if they feel that you're authentic in your appreciation and they feel like you really mean it, they're going to keep that note forever. I've got sticky notes in my books. I journal all the time, and I've got sticky notes in all of my journals of people in the classroom that leave me sticky notes. I put everyone in my journal to remind me when I'm not feeling it, when I don't think I'm making a big impact, I go back in and look at those sticky notes, and I remember how much appreciation that people have for what we're trying to accomplish. So.
I think they're also important for yourself. Like, you know, I've heard and seen a lot of people write sticky notes, you know, a Bible verse, a leadership quote, an encouraging message that they want to remind themselves of daily, and they put it on their mirror. So every time they get up, get ready for the day, they see it. And so not only are sticky notes, I think, important for others and to show appreciation to others, it's also important for yourself too.
Oh, and I think that's a great point. And so I hope our viewers have enjoyed the podcast today. Remember, power of a sticky note. You can write them to people, write them to yourself. They really, really matter. I think people love to see they're doing a good job. They love to hear it, but as well, they enjoy just the interaction of knowing their boss cares. Mackenzie, thank you for joining us today. I think your comments were so good. Thank you. So with that being said, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Leadership with Dean Crisp. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share your favorite podcast. And if you get a chance, leave us a review. Learn more about Dean, his books, our classes, and our Significant Leader Program at www.lhln.org. Until next time, be sure to put your leadership into action every day.